Okay, Parshas Balak. Okay.
Yeah, Balak.
Okay, so start off with a vav that I think we said over many times. But doesn't hurt to say it over again. Okay? In Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk tells us Vayelchu Ziknei Mayim Ziknei Milyon Maksamim Miyodom Vayavayo El Bilom Vayadabru Elov Divrei Balak. The Ziknei Mayav and the Ziknei Minyan went, but Ksamim Biyadam. So Rashi tells us, what are the Ksamim? So Rashi brings that one shot, all the Kelim of Kishuf that Bilam needed to do his Kishuf, and his Nevuah, his Kolois, so Bilam wouldn't have an excuse to say, I don't have my tools of the trade with me, so they brought along the tools of the trade. One shot. Davar Acha, says Rashi, Kesim Zeh Notu Biyadam Ziknei Midyon. The elders of Midian took a simon, a sign in their hands, to see whether Bilam would be successful or not. Amru, they said, if Bilam comes with us, if Bilam comes with us this time, yesh bay mamish, he's for real. If he pushes us off, aim by talents, there's no gain in waiting for him. Therefore, when Bilam said to them, Linu fay halayla, sleep over tonight, Amru, they said, aim by tikva. There's no hope. We're not. Hinichuhu v'hochulam. So the Ziknei Midyan left, and they went away. Shnem, like it says, v'yeshvu sarei moyev in Bilam. The sarei moyev remained with Bilam. The Ziknei Midyan, hochulam, the Ziknei Midyan went away. So the pasuk says, ksomim biyodom. They bought a simin. What was the simin? A way to see whether Bilam would be successful or not. If Bilam says, I'm coming with you right away, yesh by mamish, he's the real McCoy. He's for real. If Bilam says, he pushes him off, let's wait and see. No, aim by talus. It's not such a big gain in waiting around. If he says, stay overnight, then aim by tikva, there's no hope. So the Gra explains very nicely, Rashi uses three different lashonos. Yesh by mamish, aim by talus, aim by tikva. Mamish, talus, and tikva. Says the Gra, the Ziknei Midyan came with the following cheshbon. They knew that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Hashem. Darbaboy, Moshe Rabbeinu had a direct connection to Hashem. We find Imdu ve'eshma'o ma'itzav Hashem lachem. We find by Pesach Sheni, wait, I'll find out. Avnoi Sulavchod, he went, he had to ask Hashem what to do. So the Ziknei Midyan say like this. Moshe's kayach is with his mouth. We're going to Bilam that he should be Mekalel b'nei Yisrael, also with his mouth. How do we know Bilam will be able to overcome the kayach of Moshe Rabbeinu, who also uses his pair? It depends. If Bilam says, I'll come with you right away, then yesh by mamish, this is real. Because that shows, in a sense, is even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had to first ask Hashem, and Bilam's ready to go right away. If Bilam pushes off and says, wait, then aim by te'elis, there's no gain. It shows that he's the same as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe had to ask, had to consult with Hashem, and Bilam has to consult with Hashem. If that's the case, maybe Bilam will win, maybe not. 50-50 chance. Not such a big gain in waiting around. But when Bilam said, Linu poi halayla, stay overnight, I can only communicate with Hashem and sleep at night, then they said, ain't by tikfit is in the hole. Because that shows he's at a much lower level of Nevuah than Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe was able to talk to Hashem while he was awake, and Bilam had to wait till at night, there's no hope, because Bilam will never be able to win over Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael.
Win over.
So says the Gra. And the Velt says over, the world says over, that Mamish to Elis and Tikva. When you come to somebody and you ask for a favor, you can tell by their response whether it's worthwhile to wait around or not. If the person says, I'll do it for you right away, you should know Yesh by Mamish. He's for real. He'll do it for you. If he pushes you off, he says, wait, aim by Tielis. Not such a big gain. He might do it for you. He might not. 50-50. You don't know what's going to happen. But if he says, oh, I'll come back tomorrow. We'll sleep on it tonight. Wait for tomorrow. Then aim by tikva. Then there's no hope. Then you know that he's pushing you off. And there's no hope in waiting for him to do you a favor. When he asks somebody for a favor, he says, sure, right away. Then he yesh by mamish. Then you know he's for real. Okay.
She's real.
The main camera ain't tired, so it's okay.
Okay.
In Perikhof Bey's Pasuk Yud Gimel, if you look at the Pesukim, you'll see something very interesting. The first set of messengers that Balak sends to Bilam, Bilam calls them Sarei Valak. The Pasuk calls them Sarei Valak, the Sarim, the princes of Balak. Rabbi Sheni, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayakom Bilam Babaiker, Bilam wakes up in the morning, Vayayim and he says, El Sarei Valak, to the princes of Balak, Uchul Artzachem, go back to your land, Kimi Ein Hashem, L'siti L'halachim, Hashem refuses to allow me to go with you. A little later on, Balak sends a second set of messengers. And these messengers, the Pasuk tells us, in Pasuk Tezvav, that Yosef Oid Balak, continues to send, Shulayach Sarim, Rabim V'nechbadim Mi'ela. He sends princes that are more honored, respected, more choshev than the first set. Yet in Pasuk Yudches, when Bilam speaks to them, the Pasuk says, Vayan Bilam, Bilam answered, Vayoyman he said, El Avdei Balak, to the servants of Balak. And Rabbeinu Mechai is very bothered. Why the first set of messengers that were not that chashuv? It says, Bilam spoke to them, and he spoke to the princes, the Sarei of Balak. Then the Pasuk says, Balak sent Rabim v'nechbodim mi'ela, princes that were more chashuv, more respected than the first set, and the Pasuk calls them Avdei Balak, the servants of Balak. Not Sarim. What happened? Isn't the second set more chashuv than the first? Rabbeinu Mechai, in Perikhov Bey's Pasuk Ches, it's very powerful words. The Ha'inyan. And the Inyan is, Ki Bilam Hoye Gva'inayim Ruchav Levov. Bilam was a Balgaiva. Bilam was a big shot. Bilam had a big ego. V'harishayinim Shibol Fonov Bahachna. The first messengers that Balak sent spoke to Bilam with humility, softly. The Dibru Lord, he spoke to Bilam V'roshin Raka, softly. What the Pasuk says? Back at the beginning of the parasha, Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zayin, they came and they spoke to Bilam, and they said, "Hinei ha'om hazeh hayayitim." There's a nation of Mitzrayim, and they're growing. The atal chon orally, and go and curse them for me. They spoke gently to Bilam. They spoke softly to Bilam. Therefore, Hizkir behem. So the pasuk calls them Sarei Balak because they spoke gently, softly to Bilam. So Bilam saw them as a sarim, as princes. Avol Egu, but the second set of princes that came, Shedibru Lov Derech Gaiva, they spoke to Bilam with Gaiva, and they said to Bilam, Koyama Balak Ben Sipa Al Nosi Mona Mehalech Eloi. So says Balak, don't hold back from coming to me. They spoke with Gaiva to Bilam. They spoke with Gaiva to Bilam. Bilam looked down at them right away. Bilam looked down, and Krom Avodim, and he called them Avodim. The first ones that spoke to Bilam softly, humbly, Bilam called him Sarim. He saw them as Sarim. The second group that spoke to him very harsh, they spoke to him about Gaiva. So says Balak, come. Oh, you're talking to me like that? Bilam looked down at them, and Bilam called them Avodim. Levar, ki hayu shfarim be'inav. They were low in his eyes, for hayu machshivam rak avodim. And he only considered them to be like Avodim. Powerful lesson. Depends how a person presents himself. You could be more choshev, you could be a bigger sar. But if you present yourself with that gaiva, you walk down upon. The pasuk calls them avodah. Present yourself with humility, softer, they're called sar. It doesn't matter how choshev you really are, depends how you present yourself, how you deal with others, whether it's with the gaiva or not. Perikhof Beis, pasuk yudches. Pasuk yudches. Okay. Perichov Beis Pasuk Yudches.
Why did they hate the Jews so much?
When it comes to Gaiva, there are many lessons to learn. Just one short story. In Kelem, once a group of Bachmen were walking with Rebbe Gershon. They were walking with Rebbe Gershon, and as they were walking, they came across a Yid who had a lot of tzaris, was sitting crying, and he had a lot of troubles. And he stopped the group of Bachrim, this Reb Gershon, to talk to them, and he was telling them about all the Yisurim, and all the tzaris, and all the troubles that he had. And as he was talking, he said, I have this tzara, and that tzara, and this problem. And he said, since the world was created, nobody had as many tzaris as I have. And he cried bitterly, and this Rebbe Gershon sat there for hours and talked to him and tried to comfort him and calm him down. After they finally finished and they left, Rebbe Gershon said to the Bachurim, what did you just learn from what happened? From this whole story, what lesson can you learn? And they said, oh, nice olam chaveiro, you have to fear for somebody else, you have to try to help other people. And Rebbe Gershon said, you're right, but there's a more important lesson to learn. And that is that even when a person is down and a person is yisurim, the Yetzirah of Gaiva exists. How great is the Kayach of Gaiva? This person was sick, this person had yisurim, this person had all difficult problems. And yet, they had to throw in a line, nobody had as much trouble as I did since Bria's Eil, since the role was created. The Kayach of Gaiva is so great that no matter what situation a person is in, the Gaiva somehow creeps in, I'm different than everybody else. I stick out. I'm better, whatever it might be. The Kayach of Gaiva is so great. Persons always watch out for that little gaiva, the gaiva that creeps in. Talmidei chachamim marbim shalom oilam. Talmidei chachamim bring shalom into the world. What's the lashon talmidei chachamim? Chachamim. Chachamim bring shalom to the world. Talmidei chachamim. And the belt says over the word, talmidei chachamim. As long as a person is a talmid, he's willing to learn from others, that brings shalom into the world. When a person thinks he knows it all, I don't have to learn from others, I know better than you. I know more than you. There's no need to learn from you. I'm right. That leads to machlekes. But talmidei chacham, chacham that always want to learn, always willing to learn from others, marbim shalom ba'olam, that brings shalom into the world. Later on, we find Bilam's donkey, perichof meis pasuk lamid, va'toymer ha'oson of Bilam. The donkey says to Bilam, "Haloy noichi asoincha asher achafto la'mi oitcha diyem hazeh." I'm your donkey. You rode on me all these days. And Bilam had hit the donkey because the donkey had stopped. Didn't go any further. Bilam didn't know that a malach was blocking the path. He hit the donkey 3 times as we go through the psukim. And finally at the end, Bilam's eyes are revealed and he sees the malach and he realizes that he made a mistake. And the donkey basically gives musa to Bilam. Vayiftach in Chav Beis Chav Ches. Vayiftach Hashem es Piha Asayim. Vatoymer Bilam, Mer Asisi Lecha. What did I do to you? Ki Kisani Zeh Shalom Shrugam. That you hit me 3 times. And Bilam says, you're making fun of me. I will kill you by the sword. Vatoymer, the donkey says, I'm your donkey, and so on. Vayigar Hashem es Tani Bilam. Vayar es Malach Hashem Nitzav Aderech. And he sees the Malach. And suddenly the whole story changes. And Bilam realizes the donkey was right. He had no right to hit the donkey because the donkey was stuck. The path was too narrow. The malach blocked his path. There was nowhere to go. Okay, nice story that happens in the parasha. The donkey talks to Bilam. But the idea is brought down that here Bilam is on the donkey. And Bilam is 100% sure the donkey is a stubborn donkey and the donkey is wrong. And a few psukim later, Bilam's eyes are opened and the whole story changes from one end to the other. From beginning to end, the story totally changes. He sees the malach and he understands exactly what happened. And that's what happens to us. We go through life the same way. Our eyes many times are closed. We think we understand the whole situation. We see the whole story from beginning to end. And sometimes, Vayigal Hashem, our eyes are open and suddenly the whole story from beginning to end, the whole story changes. We know we're supposed to be dan somebody or kafschus, judge somebody favorably. A lot of times we see a person do something, behave a certain way, or not do something, and right away we're criticizing, critical, how can he do that? How can he not do that? He's late, he didn't come, what? And our minds are already
judgmental.
Too judgmental. And we're already judging and punishing the person, and he deserves this for what he did. And we're not dan on kafschus. We know we're supposed to be dan on kafschus. Many times it's easy to be down on kafschus. So you think of this case that something that happened. And many times it's not that easy. I saw a nice story today. Okay? About Cairo will appreciate the story. For Yisrael Zilvishni, I saw a nice story in the Sefer today. Cholomoy Pesach, in one of the Shtiblach, was Mnei Barach, Yerushalayim, it was time to lane Cholomoy Pesach. So the Gabbai had to find the Bakairo on the spot. So the Gabbai sees a young Bacha standing nearby. He says to him, "No." In Ivrit, just in Hebrew, Ati Yochel, can you lane? Are you able to lane? And the Bocha says, Im Kesef, Yochel Ani Lekros. For money, I could win. Because for money, I could win. The gabbai is taken aback. Chutzpah. Chalmoid. How big is the lady chalmoid? 5 minutes? 3 small years? The gabbai never had such an answer before. He turns, gets very upset at this bachur, and he walks away in a huff. And the kids, they find somebody else to like. The whole davening, the gabbai is kinking his mind off the chutzpah this bacha had. He hears him to lane for money, for five, for okay. And the gabbai is totally not concentrating and just terribly troubled by the chutzpah this bacha had. And the gabbai tries to calm himself down. Bidan kafs chus. Maybe the bacha was joking. He was very serious when he said it. There was no smile on his face. He meant it. Maybe the bacha attacker has no money. He's hungry for food. He says, no, look at him. He's well dressed. He's not a pauper. He has money. And the gabbai, the whole davening is very, very, very upset. He can't be down on kafs chus, and he can't understand what happened. It bothers him so much. He comes home later that day, and without saying the name of the bacha, he says, I have a story to tell you. The chutzpah of what happened this morning in shul. And the gabbai tells over the story. We needed somebody to lane, and I saw a bacha. I know sometimes he could lane, so I asked him. And he tells me, "Im kesef yochani yokos, for money I could lane." For money I could lane. What chutzpah he had to ask for money. His 10-year-old son says to him, Abba, he says to him, "Cholmoy Pesach, the laning is different every day. It's not like Sukkot where you lane be'am Hasheni, be'am Hashulishimi." One day the laning is im kesef tavasami. One day we lane. One day we lane in Vayikra Yachov, Vayidaber. One day we lane in Karma Pesach Sheni. He was saying to you, im kesef. If today is a day that we lane im kesef talves ami, then yachal nigros. That parsha, I know how to lane. That I could lane. That's what he said to you, im kesef yachal nigros, and you misunderstood him. And the gabbai was very taken aback. And Taka, that's what happened. That's how far it goes. 5 minutes ago, the gabbai was sure this bacha was a mechutzif, and there's no way to down with kafs chus. And suddenly his eyes open up. That's life. Our eyes open up. Okay, a little story. But that's life. We see things, we hear things, and we're so judgmental right away. How could it be mechutzif? Stop. Do we know the whole story? Do we know everything? We don't. We have to learn to be done. We have to learn to be done with kafs chus. This is no. That's a new one. Nifuasech hasich. The pasuk says the Dudu Magas Moshe. I said over many times, but it's always well received, well liked. What?
Is the Ruach HaKodesh one?
No. Ki loy nachash bi Yaakov, loy kesem bi Yisrael. Says later on, Perik Chof Gimel, pasuk Chof Gimel. Ki loy nachash bi Yaakov. Bilam says. There's no nachash superstition, the Yisrael of Lekesem, or magic, the Yisrael. But Ka'esi Amal Yaakov of Yisrael, Ma Pa'al Kael. At this time, it's said to Yaakov at Yisrael, Ma Pa'al Kael, when Hashem does. Then the Magen explains a pasuk with a marshal. As soon as I start, you remember the marshal? It's a nice marshal anyway. The general in the king's army heard that somebody invented an ointment that if a person smears the ointment on himself, then anything that's thrown at him bounces right off. So if they shoot arrows at him and he's covered with this ointment, the arrows bounce right off. Take a sword and you try to stab him, the sword bounces right off. Okay, if they have guns, the bullets bounce right off. Whatever is thrown at him bounces right off. And the general said to himself, I have to have it. Because now when I go out to fight, I go out to battle, I won't have to worry about anything happening. If I have this ointment that I smear all over myself, I'll be saved. So he travels a long distance far away in order to see this professor and to buy this ointment. And people tell him, you're out of your mind. How do you know it really works? Are you going to take a chance and have someone shoot an arrow at you to see if it works? You're going to spend a lot of money on something that's, who knows what it is, don't bother going. But he's curious enough and he makes the trip. In general, he travels a long distance, and he meets the professor who has this ointment. And the professor vouches for it, that it's true, and it works, and that if a person smears it all over himself, he's protected. Nothing will harm him, everything bounces right off. And he persuades the general, and he says, okay, how much do you want for it? He names a large sum, the general pays, and he gets a big, big barrel of this ointment. And before he leaves, he smears himself from head to toe with the ointment the professor gave him. Of course, he's taking a chance. He doesn't know if it works or not. But okay, takes a chance. As the general is traveling back through the forest, a gang of robbers attack. And they start shooting arrows at him. And as the arrows hit him, they all bounce right off. All the arrows bounce off. And the robbers are looking on in amazement. They never saw this. They come charging at him with a sword, and the sword just bounces right off. The robbers see that. They're frightened. A magician, magic. They're scared, and they start to run away. As they're running away, the general calls out to them, come back, come back. I want to give you a reward. I want to reward you. I'm not going to hurt you. Come back. And they look at him, a reward? We just tried to kill you. And he says, come and I'll explain to you. When the robbers come, he says to them, I just bought this ointment that protects a person. And anything thrown at the person bounces right off. But up until now, I didn't know that it worked. I was afraid to test it. I didn't want to have anybody shoot an arrow at me in case it didn't work. But now that you came along and you shot the arrows at me and I see that it works, I want to give you a reward. Because now I know that this ointment is really works, it's true, and now I have this protection all along. So the Dunam Magid is saying it's true. Yisrael knew all along that Kishif, superstitions, and black magic has no effect on Bnei Yisrael. The Klalis of the Goyim and all the Kishif has no effect on them. But the Meisim, nobody wanted to try it. Nobody wanted to go to a Goy and say, put a spell on me and see what happens. We knew that Klal Yisrael is protected, that these powers don't have any Shlita over us. But we were afraid to try it. But now Bilam came along. Bilam came along and Bilam tried. Bilam shot his arrows at us. He started with his Klalis. And what happened? They all bounced right off. All the Klalis bounced off. Hashem took by Yahafaych. Hashem turned around all of the klalos into brachos. So kiloi nachash bi Yaakov. There's no superstition. What kesem magic bi Yisrael? Ko'es ye omar Yaakov. Now at this time we understand my Paul Kale, what Hashem does, that Hashem watches over us. Because now we saw it actually happen in action, that Bilam tried to be mekalos, and all of the klalos bounced right off. And it said, "Vayafaych Hashem." Hashem turned all of the klalos into brachas. So Klal Yisrael has this protection. Hashem watches over us. Sometimes we see it. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes Hashem's hand is open. Sometimes things are a little are hidden. But we have the protection that Hashem always watches over us. The Mo Ekloiv Lekaboy Kel Mo Ezloim Lezom Hashem. Bilam says, after he gave brachas, Balak gets quite upset. And Balak says, I hired you to be mekalo, not to give brachas. And again, Bilam tries, and this time, Pasuk Ches, Bilam pretty much gives up right away. How can I curse if Hashem doesn't curse? So, how can I be angry if Hashem is not angry at Klal Yisrael? Whatever happens comes from Hashem. Anything good, whatever's supposed to happen to a person, it's all controlled, all comes from Hashem. The Gemara in Tainus Chaf Aleph tells over the famous story of Nachum Ish Gamzu. Nachum Ish Gamzu was lying sick in bed. He was inside a house, and the house was a ruah, a shaky house. The walls were about to fall down. So the Talmidim wanted to take him out first, so the walls of the house shouldn't fall down on top of him. So Nachum Ish Gamzu told them, no, first take out all the kelim from the house, empty out the kelim, and after you take out all the furniture and everything in the house, then take out me on the bed. And that's what they did. And as soon as they took out Nachum Ish Gamzu on the bed, the walls caved in and the house fell apart. He knew that as long as he was in the house would be standing. So he told him, first take out everything else, and only then take me out afterwards. Okay, that's a story from the time of the Gemara. They say a story with the Brisker Rav. In the Six-Day War, the Brisker Rav lived in Yerushalayim. And in the diva he lived in, he was upstairs. Brisker was upstairs. And when the bombs were falling and the bullets were flying, people went down to the bomb shelters. The Briska Rav didn't want to go. He was learning upstairs, and he was able to block everything out, and he didn't want to go down to the bomb shelters.
What does it mean, block?
He wasn't affected by anything going around.
Focused.
His whole family went down to the bomb shelter, and he remained upstairs learning. When the bombs started to come very heavily, the Briska Rav's son ran upstairs and said to his father, "You can't stay here. You have to come down." And he literally didn't drag his father, but almost did, until his father said, okay, I'll come down with you. And the Briska Rav went down to the shelter. After the attack was over, they went back upstairs. A fragment of a bomb had gone through the wall and landed where the Briska Rav would have been sitting. Landed right there. The bomb went right in and landed where the Briska Rav would have been sitting. So his son said to him, "No, isn't it good that you went downstairs?" The Briska Rav said to him, "Just the opposite. You're a mazik. Because if I would have been upstairs, the bomb wouldn't have come in, the wall wouldn't have been broken, and everything would have been fine. As long as I would be here learning, nothing would have happened." All depends how you look at it. All depends. We're not in that much regular. Our job would be to go down to the bomb shelter. We're not in that much regular. But there are gedolim, there are great people that are on a higher levels than we are. It all depends how you look at it. Briska Rav said, if Hashem didn't want that I should be hurt, for Haraya, I'm okay, then it doesn't matter whether I'm in the bomb shelter or whether I was sitting upstairs. Had I been upstairs, the bomb wouldn't have fallen. He said, "Fakat, you're a mazik. Because I wasn't here, and I went downstairs to the bomb shelter, the bomb came through the wall. You're a mazik." All depends how you look at it.
The chair was safe, that he was sitting
on. The chair was safe? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, any which
it
way.
It shows that he would not have gotten
fine. Any which
way. I
didn't
sell him the chair, but
okay.
It was your father, that's all right.
Any which way you want. Okay. That's the bottom line. The many years it comes out that Parshas Balak falls out right before the 3 weeks. This year works out. Not every time in a leap year. Most years it's not a leap year works out, and during a leap year sometimes it works out. The Parshas Balak is right before the 3 weeks. And the idea is brought down that Bilam, what happened to his klolos? It says in Parshas Kisei, Hashem turned around the klolos into brachas. So he lay in Balak before the 3 weeks with the tefillah. We hope that Hashem will turn around the tzaris, will turn around the golos, and bring about the gula. And we know Chazal tell us that whoever is misabel Yerushalayim is zeicher v'roi benechamos, is zeicher to see the nechama. So when it comes to 3 weeks, a person has to feel a little bit the avelos of Yerushalayim. And I don't remember, I heard this vart last year, I don't remember from whom, probably a well-known vart. And that is that when it comes to the avelos of Yerushalayim, Chum Beis HaMikdash, and it comes to a personal avelos that a person has for a relative, the two avelos work in different directions. If a person, Chas V'Shalom, becomes an avel, it starts off very chamor. First he's an oinein, he can't do mitzvahs, then there's after the kvura, then there's a shiva, which has a dinim of a shiva, then there's dinim of shloshim, dinim of the year. The avelos sort of eases as time goes along. It starts off very chamor, and then it eases as it goes along. Shiva, shloshim, the year, the avelos goes in a harsh to easier direction. When it comes to the 3 weeks, avelos for the churban, the avelos works in a totally opposite direction. We start off very light with the avelos in 3 weeks. Okay, 3 weeks, don't take a haircut. Certain minhagim we don't do the 3 weeks. It's not Meikir Adin, it's only Minhagim, we start off. Then it builds up to Rosh Chodesh Av, the 9 days, gets a little more chomer. No meat, don't drink wine, and so on. It builds a more chomer. Then it comes Erev Tisha B'Av, gets even more chomer Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. And then it comes Tisha itself, the most chomer dik a day, so builds that Avelus, works the other way around. Avelus goes from easy to hard. The question is why? Why do the two Aveluses work in different directions? When it comes to a relative, the Avelus goes from harsher to easier, and when it comes from Avos HaRais HaMikdash, it works the other way around. I'm sure there are many answers, but one answer that I heard is because a person fails it. So forget, when he fails it, it's very harsh. Time heals the wound, time heals the tragedy that happened. So as time goes on, we start to lift the restrictions. The first day is harsher, then shiva. Each subsequent day, week, month, the avelus becomes easier because a person starts to ease up. A person feels the tragedy, the avelus that happened, and as time goes on, he starts to heal, so we ease up the avelus. But a base of midrash is just the opposite. How could we feel the churban? We're living here in America, years, thousands of years later. How do we feel the churban? We go through our, next week is the same routine we had this week. I don't think anyone's doing anything different than next week. Okay, maybe if you're making you're not going to do major renovations and you're not going to make major, no one's doing anything different next week. How do you feel the avelus? The only way to feel the avelus is to start off softly. Make a little change. Make a small change. Don't take a haircut. Think about the Beis HaMikdash. Hold back a little bit. You hold back a little bit? Okay, I made step one. Let's increase the avelus. Ramp it up a little bit. Let's do step two. Comes in 9 days. Chodesh, then it comes Shavuot Shechalboi, the week of Tisha B'Av. We eat on a little bit each time. Eat on a little bit each time. That brings us closer to feel the avelus until it comes already. Erev Tisha B'Av. Comes Tisha B'Av. Hopefully by now we accustomed ourselves to feel the avelus for the Churban of Yerushalayim for the Beis HaMikdash. But to just jump into it, that will be impossible for us to do. Because we're not on that level. A personal tragedy, a person feels very harsh. But a tragedy on this level, which happened thousands of years ago, we have to bring ourselves and accustom ourselves to be ready for it. So we start off very small, very slow, one step at a time, baby steps. And then each step builds one on top of the other, and it increases, and it increases, until when it finally comes to Shemov, it increased so much, we wrote in ourselves, we're able to feel somewhat the avelus of Churban of Yerushalayim. And Taka, we have to feel, and the Gemara says, whoever feels the avelus of Yerushalayim is zeicha to see, the Rechamo Shtakul will be zeicha, that this year, Tishba of Karalai Majer be a Yomtiv, she's zeicha to see Mashiach Zakenu Meher Yerushalayim.
Amen.